This episode of Fuel for the Soul is powered by ASICS. Head over to ASICS.com and sign up for a one ASICS account. It's completely free, and when you sign up, you will receive 10% off your first purchase. You'll also gain access to exclusive colorways on ASICS.com, free standard shipping, special birthday month discounts, and more.
Okay. Hi, this is Thomas with Believe in the Run.
And this is Megan with Believe in the Run.
And this is Megan with Featherstone Nutrition.
AKA Feathers. And we were thinking that, I mean, at some point, you're probably going to have to change your branding just down to Feathers.
I mean, it's a lot easier. It's so confusing.
It is.
It's really confusing.
You don't have to worry if it's a stun or stone.
I know.
How many times do people mess that up?
I think 50% of the people that introduced you on our hydration tour said stone. Featherstone.
Yeah. Yeah, or then people who do know my last name is Featherstone often just accidentally say Featherstone Nutrition. So, I mean, it's like, I answer to all of it. I don't, you know.
I got a question. Why not just change your last name to Stone? Featherstone.
That is hard sounding. I dig that. Let's do it.
Yeah, Featherstone.
That sounds like a lot of paperwork, to be honest.
It's light like a feather and hard like a stone.
I mean, like, it's not both. Change it on my driver's license, just like, you know, change my name.
Just go write with it different. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Make your signatures. Okay. Anyway, you are listening to Fuel for the Soul, the podcast where we ramble about some things and talk all things hydration and nutrition and how it affects performance. And today we are going to do some ramblings at the top, recap a little bit more of our hydration tour, and then dive into some products we're trying and listener questions related to some travel and some other stuff that's relevant to right now.
And see, Megan, I feel like if we had a really good editor for this podcast, they would throw in some country music or something to like intro the Nashville, like you get on NPR and stuff. Like they're like, yeah. They play a little music and then they drop you in.
Yeah, you don't have a great editor though, so.
I think she's great.
Who?
Our editor. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess we should tell people. Meg actually edits these every week. Which Meg? Not Feathers. Meg, what? Do you not have a nickname? Fasty McGee?
No, I don't think that's it. Sure don't. Nope, just Meg. That's just Meg?
All right.
Yep. Yeah. She's just the Meg.
Thank you for editing every week, Meg.
Well, and we did have a lot of people on tour that were like, we love the outtakes. And I would tell them, I'd be like, that's Meg. Meg does the outtakes. So, yeah, I guess we should say, this is Megan.
You and I do the stupid talking, though, that give her outtakes to do.
It's a team effort. Let's be real.
Yeah. All right. Let's be honest. All right.
So, guys, tell me about Nashville. Give me like a wrap-up.
Well, so you're forgetting Baltimore, and then we hit Oklahoma City.
Wait, we haven't talked about Baltimore?
And then Nashville, not on this podcast.
I guess when we did the podcast when you were here in studio, that was pre-party.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
It was the morning of the party.
Time is a flat circle.
We started recording the drop yesterday, and Thomas was like, tell us about Nashville. And I was like, but we haven't talked about Baltimore and Oklahoma City. And he was like, yes, we have. That was on last week's episode. And I was like, I was like, what happened in the past week? I'm not sure.
I think we're all very confused.
Time is irrelevant. I don't know what day it is.
There's two separate podcasts. There's like, we're talking about it on both. So you feel like you talked about it. You didn't talk about it.
I just don't. My memory is quite bad these days. So,
yeah.
All right. So I think you got to tell people about the people that showed up for Nashville. And then also remind them that you can also, if you're in Atlanta or Boston, you can still catch the fever for the hydration tour.
Yeah, I think so. But so I went back, and I know all of you listening have probably heard of, if you add the temperature to the dew point, and if it's over 150, it's like super oppressive, like don't try to run hard. So I decided to add up all of our stops because Meg and I were like, I don't know, Nashville feels like it was the worst so far. And sure enough, when you add 82 degrees with a 76 dew point, we get 158, which is actually our highest number. So I think Nashville might have been our most oppressive weather so far.
Okay, Feathers always does like graphs and little things in her recaps.
Instagram?
I think you need to do once this is all over, a comparison of the suffer of each hydration tour. And I'll tell you right now, Oklahoma City is going to lose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They had a cold front.
That was a lovely day, actually, or morning there. Yeah.
It was. They also measure distance different. So we went for a 10K and we came back at 8.2 miles. So, I mean, thank God it was a little bit cooler.
Was it a 2 mile warm up?
I don't really know.
I think that Megan and I might have gotten a little bit lost on that run.
Wait, did you include your run on the way over to, didn't you run to Red Coyote?
No. Nope.
Okay.
Yeah. We Ubered over and we were supposed to do a 10K and we came back 8+ miles strong.
Speaking of miles, like, are you doing, is Megan have you doing as many miles as she's doing right now?
Oh, no, no. I probably like 20 miles less a week than her, if I had to guess.
Megan has a rest day, and she's going to hit 80 miles with her rest day.
Yes, yes.
That's insane.
Yeah, 20+ miles less.
We're doing the miles. We're getting it all done. But yeah, so Hydration Tour has been phenomenal. All of the stops since you last heard from us on this, Baltimore, Oklahoma City, Nashville, everyone came out. The people are amazing. We are just so grateful for everyone. We still do have 2 stops. So, well, wait, when does this come out? Boston is still an option for all of you, which will be August 19th. And it's kind of like our shakeout run before Falmouth as well. So if you're in the area for that race or you just live in Boston, definitely come out and see us.
You know what my favorite part of the Nashville run was?
What?
I finally got a Hydration Tour water bottle. I'm not even going to use it. I'm just going to keep it as a souvenir.
Yeah.
Because I think it looks so pretty.
The other thing that we talked about already on the drop, but not on this show, is the snow cones that Scratch did, which I think that needs to be a thing that we somehow create for next summer too, because that was a real treat.
Like, do we just start a franchise and get our own fleet of vehicles with the snow cone thing and drive them around?
That seems financially responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that does. That actually piggybacks off of our conversation in Nashville with Chase, the one who's been our photographer, if I can talk. And we talked about, like, what if we get, like, a motorhome? And, like, you know, Meg and I can fly there, but he can bring the motorhome and the snow cone machine and
set
up.
That was the original idea for our trip to Worlds, to have an RV drive us from Baltimore to Portland. And then we thought about it and we're like,
like, that sounds terrible.
Nah, that's horrible.
Yeah, I'll fly. But I'll meet the snow cone machine there because I think it was genius. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll work on that, that happening and then us flying to it.
You guys might be too young for this, but do you remember a Snoopy snow cone maker?
Yes.
Like it looked like a little Snoopy house and then you put the.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, my neighbors had one.
Did it ever work?
No, and it was chunky. It was, like, real chunky. Yeah. It wasn't, like, this shaved ice was, like, fluffy. Like, there wasn't chunks of ice. It was, like, this fluff that just had Scratch in it. It was amazing.
It was like snow. Yeah.
The idea behind the Snoopy thing was good. Yeah. But if you think about it, you can't have kids playing with, like, something that can chip ice into snowflakes.
No. Yeah, it's probably not the best idea.
But those did look insane. I have to say, there hasn't been too much where I've been like, oh, I really am jealous of them right now. The snow cone was one where I was like, oh, that does look good. And your faces were super smiley and stuff while you were eating them. Like, I was like, these must be good.
Kid at a clown fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next thing you're going to do is deep fried Snicker bars.
Well, I might turn my back on that one. But, you know, a cold electrolyte snow cone after a run? I mean, what's better? Cool your core body temperature, get your electrolytes, hydration. It was amazing.
Speaking of which, I got to do that never second frozen thing after my need to figure out how I can bring one of those on a run. I think Megan's doing a long run this weekend if she wants me to bring them on the bicycle and I'll keep them frozen in like a ice pack.
Mm-hmm.
She could try it on the run.
That sounds very bougie. I don't know if I need all that nonsense.
I like bougie.
Okay, he just wants you to do it for him then on his long run, I think is actually what he's getting
at. Right. Uh-huh.
That'd be great. Megan doesn't have time to help me on long runs. She's busy running 80, 90 miles a week.
I love it.
Uh-huh. All right, so let's chat a little bit about products we're trying, but also this ties into a listener question from Allison. She said, I had a question about bars. When I need to take food with me For after a run, when I know I won't be home in time to eat within the 30-minute window, or when I'm away, I eat a lot of bars. Right now, I've been using Picky Bars and their protein bars specifically for when I won't be able to eat within 30-minute window because I'm not home. The other bars I use when I need a quick and, portable, maybe, snack?
What spell it out.
Port? She just wrote port snack?
Yeah, she's portable.
Just abreviating.
Oh, abreviating.
What was the abbreviation I did that you liked?
You did something crazy.
Yeah.
Curious if there are bars out there you recommend or how to know if the bars I'm eating are good choices. What's your take on bars in general? Any that are good for those after run options when another protein and carb option isn't available right away? Thanks for all your help. So bars, very handy when you're traveling too. So talk to us about what you use, what you recommend, and what we should be looking for.
And can we also throw powders in?
No, you can't travel with powders.
Are you kidding? That's the only thing.
Yeah, but like when you're like on an airplane, you can't be like, oh, let me put this powder into a drink.
Let me mix this up. Right. There's suddenly a white substance everywhere and the plane has to land.
Shake it up.
No, I think bars are super helpful. And I think they've gotten a bad rap because I think they're really user-friendly. It can be a lot of different things. We're literally wrapped up in a bar that you can shelf stable to leave in your car, to pack in your bag when you're traveling. So honestly, I don't think there's necessarily like good and bad bars. It's just some bars are higher in carbs and some bars are higher in protein. So we know we need carbs and protein to jumpstart the recovery process. So it's just like if you want a picky bar, even their protein bars, neither of them have like over 20 grams of protein. So they're kind of higher in carb with a little bit of protein. So then you know when you do get to food, you need to like nail your protein goals with some more carbs. Or if you choose a protein bar that has enough protein in it, then you just need to make sure you're getting more carbs in your meal when you get home. So I think it's just find the bar that you like and make sure that it's either a good source of protein or carbs. And whatever it's not a great source of is what you just want to make sure you're eating in your next meal. Picky bars were originally developed so that it had that like 3-to-1 ratio to like jumpstart the recovery process. So like that's what they were made for back in the day when they were actually put out. So, you know, something like that, we just need to make sure we get all our protein when we get back.
What about the Epic bars?
Epic? Aren't those the ones that are like beef jerky?
Yeah, they're like meat.
Meat bars.
You can get like turkey, salmon, buffalo.
Wait, Meg, is that the chicken sriracha one I ate in Oklahoma City and you were like, gross, and it was really good?
Yes. Yeah, they are tasty.
It was good. Meg was like, no way, can't buy that.
Meg won't eat packaged meat.
I knew she wouldn't, but yeah.
Imagine. Your face got me. I was looking at your face in the camera when I said that.
These are the ones that I've been eating. They're like the Rise protein bars. They have 20 grams of protein.
I've never seen those.
So I think somebody suggested them to them. I don't even know how I found them. All they have in them is honey, almond butter, and whey protein. So it's not like I buy them on Amazon. Yeah. So these are the ones that I like.
They're called Rise?
Mm-hmm. They have plant-based ones too. I mean, I like it because I don't like my protein bars to taste like candy bars. Like, I'm eating a protein bar because I'm like, oh, I need some protein. I don't really want it to taste like a candy bar. Like, I'll eat a candy bar if I want a candy bar, you know?
So is that more savory?
It's not savory. It's just, I don't know. It just gets the job done. I've had a couple people love them, and I've had a couple people be like, I can't believe you like those, Megan. And I'm like, I think they're good. They taste like honey almond butter. I don't know.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some right now.
Yeah, get some. I highly recommend
it. I'm doing it while we're on.
Okay, I'm going to ask you questions about bars that I feel like were real hot. So RX bars, I feel like those were a big thing. What are your thoughts on that? Also, they're approved by like Whole30, which I was always like, what? But I remember those were allowed.
Because it's all just raw ingredients pretty much.
It's approved. I hate that term. But anyways, I think they're good. They've got 12 grams of protein, so it's a little bit higher. But, you know, we've talked a ton here. Like, we need at least 20 grams if we're trying to replace, like, a meal dose of protein, you know? So even still, it's not that much. And it does have, like, a bunch of dried fruit, so there are some carbs in it. I think, I'll throw an RX bar into my bag. I did buy some for our very first leg of this trip, and I ate one, and I was like, I forgot. I really don't like these. So, like, they're not my favorite, but nutritionally, they're good. Yeah.
What's your pick for the higher protein bars? Like, what would you recommend that has at least 20 grams?
Yeah, so the Rise that I have in my hand is definitely my favorite right now. The Cliff Builder bars have been around a long time. That used to be my go-to.
Okay.
And those are plant-based. So I was actually looking for more of like a whey protein-based one. So that's why I switched to Rise. And then Anabar, A-N-A-B-A-R. I ate them all, so I don't have one to show you guys. They taste a lot more like a candy bar, though. But those are another one that's really popular right now. They have like wild flavors, like a monster cookie bar and fruity pebbles. They have like, you know, crazy flavors in them. And ooh, those are pretty good.
That makes me think of those cookie ones. Like the two dudes are on them.
Yeah, there's Lenny's. Like Lenny's?
Lenny's, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are those protein cookies? What about those? Because those seem to have carbs and protein.
I can't remember how many grams of protein are in them. I've looked at them before and I remember thinking like, holy crap, this is a ton of calories for what it is. You know, it's like 450, because it's two servings in a cookie. So when you, oh, your wow, favorite.
See,
your
I
favorite
hate that.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Just it's yeah, nobody's eating half a cookie.
Exactly. Exactly. So like when you do the math, I'm always kind of like, ugh, I don't know. Like that seems like a meal and I don't want to eat a cookie for a meal. I want like a meal. So I've never tried them, but some people like them.
Yeah. And what about people that are real concerned about the fact that, you know, this is a processed, packaged good? Is that okay? Are we fine to be eating these?
I mean, I think if it depends on how often you're eating them, like with us traveling.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, with us traveling, like I think we need to have things like that laying around, you know, and options. I get what they're saying because some of them, the ingredient list is literally like this long, which is kind of like, what the heck does it need to be in there? And probably why I liked these Rise bars, because I was like, oh, like that's things I would normally eat every day, you know. So I think part of it is just the frequency, you know, like I don't think there's anything wrong with using things like this to help you meet your needs when you're traveling or like on a busy day at work, you know, having these in your drawer or something like that. But yeah, if it's something we're going to eat every single day, we probably want to make sure that we're getting a really decent one.
I mean, that is a good point, because we do know people get like on like a craze or something, or a fad diet or something like that. And I can see some people who, like myself, who don't love to cook or something, it's easier just to grab a bar and just forget about it. But we're not talking about having these as a daily piece of your diet, I'm guessing. I'm guessing this is more like, hey, if you're late to work or you got to take the kids to school and you need to grab a protein bar real quick, throw this in your bag, something like that. Or example, like, I wonder, like, Meg's doing doubles right now. Should she be supplementing? Like, does she need to have more protein in the diet when she's doing this stuff?
I mean, as long as she's hitting her protein needs three times a day, there's really not a ton of research, if she's recovering okay, to add more. Some people, like, if they're not recovering well or they're trying to put on lean body mass, will try to hit their protein goals, like, four times a day. But, I mean, if she's feeling good and recovering and hitting it three times a day, like I don't think she necessarily needs more.
And again, how do you know when you're overdoing protein?
That's a good question. So when I see overdoing protein getting in the way is when someone's eating so much protein, they're not getting enough carbs. So sometimes like protein makes us feel full. So if we're eating way too much protein, we probably just don't have the room to balance out the rest of our diet. Or if we're choosing higher fat proteins, we're just getting way too much fat and protein, and then there's not enough room for the carbs. So to me, it's like more of like the overall balance that I look at with that than anything.
I feel like, and it may be my imagination, but especially if I'm eating animal protein, it changes my like body odor.
That's interesting. I've heard that with people who take too much protein powder, like that are using a ton of protein powder, they'll be like, I smell different. but I don't know. I've never experienced that. So,
I mean, I'm just guessing. Maybe it's summertime and I just stink sometimes. But
I mean, we've smelled a lot of stinky people over the last few weeks.
Yep. We sure have.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, though, like when you do a meetup and stuff and people smell because they're running and stuff and it's in the heat, like do you care? Or is it just like this is, it's just part of the game?
No.
Plus, well, and most I of have, the time we're outside, so it's not so bad. It's when they pack us into a store that it's like,
the store smells funny.
Yeah,
I know. Well, you know how like, well, Thomas, you don't know, you don't wear sports bras, but like after a sports bra gets old, even when you think you've washed it well, as soon as it gets wet, sometimes it starts stinking. And I had one day where I had worn an old sports bra and I said to Meg, I was like, I got to throw this out. I can't wear this to another one.
I mean, I don't wear sports bras. That's true. But it happens with shirts, like, there's at a certain point, you're just like, okay, this shirt, if it has sentimental value, it's just never going to get worn again. Yeah. But other than that, I'll be like, okay, garbage time for this guy. Like,
that makes sense. Because, like, your shirts in your armpits, our sports bras in our armpits, it's probably the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that heat-activated scent is always a bummer because it usually the first time you notice it is when, like, you're going to a race or something and you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I stink.
Yeah. All right, let's stay on this travel topic. We have another listener question related to that. This one's from Finn. They said, I have a question about traveling, eating, and anxiety. Whenever I travel, I tend to have a harder time telling if I'm hungry since all my hunger cues seem to go away or go awry. I will also often feel bloated or feel overly full after eating. I think it's related to general anxiety of being in a different environment, being on a different schedule, and not eating food I'm used to. It could also be anxiety about getting my workouts in and getting the right nutrition. I'm a vegetarian, so finding protein sources when traveling can be a challenge. Do you have any advice for getting proper nutrition as a runner and athlete when traveling? Can you help me understand how anxiety relates to digestion and how we can work around it to fuel properly?
And before you get in there, I just gotta say, hey Finn, I feel you. Like I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And Meg and I talked about this. We thought it was more the heat that our appetite changed when we were traveling, but who knows? Maybe it was like a piece of this wrapped in. So when I was reading Finn's question,
when you say the heat, what you felt hungrier or less hungry?
Less hungry. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah. Heat. I think so too. So when I read this question from Finn, I was like, this is a really good question. And I kind of want to break it down into like two pieces. So like the travel nutrition and then also the digestion anxiety, because I think those are two very discrete different things and very interesting to kind of talk about differently. So with travel nutrition, like if there are things, especially as someone who's subscribing to a certain eating pattern, like being a vegetarian or needing to be gluten-free, our choices are going to be a little more limited when we travel. So I highly recommend that the food you can't live without, the things that you use on a daily basis, you figure out how to pack some of those things, because that's going to decrease the anxiety too, knowing, okay, if I can't find this, I have this source of protein with me, or I can't find that, I've got this carbohydrate with me, so that you can still kind of keep to your normal schedule a little bit more. So kind of taking some of those staples. What?
I just pictured Finn walking through the airport with a duffel bag of tofu.
Well, maybe, actually, speaking of products, they sent me these dried edamame beans. One's sriracha flavored, one's buffalo chicken. They are so, or not chicken, buffalo seasoning. They're really good. So something like that could be like a vegetarian protein alternative to taking tofu in your bag.
And I think we probably talked about, have they made, like, whatever that information was, it was saying, like, edamame and soy would make men start getting estrogen. Was that just like people being douchey about vegetarian diets?
People being weird. Yeah, no, I think soy is very healthy for all of us. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's fine. So I think, packing some of those things, or like we were talking about, the Cliff Builder bars are a plant-based protein, like take some things like that. I think making sure that you feel like you have a little bit of control over choices will kind of help decrease that anxiety and set you up for success when you're traveling. And then two, if your appetite's not good or you're forgetting to eat, like that's not going to set you up well for running, right? You're going to be underfueled. So I think trying to keep to your normal nutrition timing throughout the day, regardless of appetite, is probably a really good tip as well. So when you get up, make sure you're eating breakfast, take your snacks, make sure that you've got a lunch, so really trying to stick to that timing just a little bit better rather than listening to your hunger cues. Because like he just said, his hunger cues aren't existent. So I think we need to be careful to be more intentional and less intuitive when we travel about nutrition to make sure that we're staying on top of it. And then two, again, like being prepared, having a plan, if you can scope out some of the restaurants that might be around where you're staying and be like, okay, this is something and they'll deliver, I can get takeout here. I have a lot of clients that travel like every single week for work, and what they'll do is either have like a Uber Eats leave groceries at their hotel, or they'll actually have like an Uber Eat delivery of breakfast waiting for them after their run so they can eat really quick while they're getting ready. I mean, there's really, we have the technology these days to set ourselves up well. We just need to think ahead, find the restaurant, see if they deliver, how long will it take, when do I need to order it, that kind of stuff, to just make sure that we have what we need.
All right, but why the bloatiness? Why do we feel a little bloaty or something when we're traveling?
So So I think that kind of probably goes down. Well, I mean, it could be just that you're traveling and you're in the air. So a lot of people get dehydrated when they're in the air, when they're flying. And then, you know, while they're traveling, they're just not drinking as much, which can cause constipation and bloating and that kind of stuff. So I think that could be a piece of it. But then also the other part of his question is like the anxiety digestion intertwining. Mm-hmm. For lack of better words. So I think when we get anxious, you know, our body has that anxiety response. It's almost like the fight or flight response, which means blood flow is not going to our GI tract. It's going to our muscles because it's like, dude, you got to run out of this situation. You're anxious. This isn't a safe situation when we're really just sitting, right? So we're not going to get great blood flow to our GI tract when we're super anxious, which can cause the bloating, which can cause a lot of the stomach issues that this person was describing. So I think understanding that you're anxious and trying to deal with the underlying anxiety a little bit more obviously would be the ultimate goal here. But the other thing is, so if we know when we're anxious and are traveling that it slows down our digestion, like what can we do from a nutrition standpoint to not make that worse? So we know that fat slows down our digestion more than anything. So maybe we make sure that we're not turning to like super high fat meals when we're traveling and instead getting our protein and our carbs and kind of watching that, which when you travel and you dine out, it's always higher fat than you're used to. So it's kind of like a double whammy. Yeah, for sure.
So quick question for you along the bloated lines. And Megan, you cannot answer this question. This is strictly for Meg Feathers.
I typically don't answer any of the questions.
All right. No, from me here. Okay. What do you call the fish that when it gets nervous, it expands and has the little spines and stuff? What do you call that fish? A blowfish, right?
A blowfish, yeah. You're setting me up for something here?
Have you ever heard of a balloon fish?
No, blowfish or pufferfish.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, but I called it a balloon fish because I couldn't get the word out the other night, and he was making fun of me, but I Googled it, and a pufferfish or blowfish can also be called a balloon fish.
By children.
Suck it. We are just not as savvy as she is. She knew the third alternative, mm-hmm. and we did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. right.
All right, so that settles that one.
Okay, so fat is not good. So we want to reduce fat if we are in this anxious state or traveling and feeling bloated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and two, I mean, try to, if you are, say you get really anxious to fly, like maybe we don't eat a meal on the plane then because we're really anxious. Maybe we wait till we're in a calmer state and we're safe in our hotel room and feeling a little calmer to eat a meal. And then the other thing too is obviously smaller, more frequent meals and snacks would be less food in our stomach. So they should empty a little quicker and we should feel a little better. So maybe we even like kind of tweak like our pattern of eating. We talked about staying on a timeline, but maybe like meals and snacks are all more the same size versus like big and small. You know, and I think obviously staying hydrated is a piece of keeping this all in line as well.
See, and I feel like the hydration part is part, like I think I drink more when we fly because I drink my normal amount and then they come around with the sodas and stuff and I drink a seltzer or something like that. And I don't know what, when we travel, I feel like I'm thirsty more. And so by the time we get there, yeah, I'm probably
But you need to be taking in more hydration when you're traveling, right? Because doesn't that dehydrate you?
Yeah, like the altitude of the air up there. Yeah. I think I read somewhere that it's like you lose an extra 7 ounces an hour that you're in the air, which could add up when you're traveling.
Coming back
overseas.
From Japan, we must have
turned into a raisin.
Yeah, we basically came back.
Surprised we didn't die.
Swelled back out. Yeah.
I love it. I am always shocked, though, with the amount of traveling we're doing lately. I would say only like 50% of the people on the flight get a drink, even if they're awake. Like, obviously, if you're sleeping, you don't. But I was like, I always do. If I'm awake, I'm like, get me something to drink, you know? Do you guys always get something?
Not always, just because I won't drink their water because I don't want whatever they're pulling that tap out of. Their coffee is the same thing. So if I'm like coffee or water, I don't want to drink what they're serving there. So it's usually like a bubbly water, but sometimes bubbly water just is like, Meg can drink it all the time, but I need something with a little flavor. And then I don't want to go full calories or diet soda or something like that. So like, I'm just like, whatever, just no.
You put a lot of thought into the beverage cart.
Well, that's because when the cart's coming up, I'm like, what am I going to do?
I tend to always have a water bottle with me so that I, in case I miss them or I'm sleeping or something, like I just have water all the time.
Same. I feel like I'm like not okay if I don't have my own water. Like, what if I need it? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The same way.
Megan and I spent $25 on water before getting on a flight the other day because it was just like that's what it costs in the airport.
So what did you? What kind of water did you get?
It was one regular water and one bubbly water each, and I think it was like $25.
So you each had two bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean that's airport prices. That's about right. You bought a four.
Like we could have bought 30 pack of bubbly water. Well, and
that's the thing with the Clif bars. I always buy them at the airport, and they're like $20 at the airport. And I'm like, if I'm at BJ's or something now and I see the Clif bars, I just get a pack because I know that I can throw them out of my backpack. I have one in my backpack right now. It's like an emergency food like the, we were talking about earlier with the protein bars. I just have like an emergency something in case I need it.
Right. Yeah, because those prices, that epic chicken sriracha jerky that I ate, I think it was like $4.80 and it was like four bites.
Yeah. Those are good, though, aren't they?
It was so good. I actually looked them up. I was like, I should buy these on Amazon, but I didn't.
I think they sometimes, they could even have them at Aldi's. Really? I know Trader Joe's carries them.
Oh, man. I need to go grocery shopping.
I like the buffalo one, but there's one that I don't like because it has, like, fruit in it. So it's, like, meat and fruit.
Was it, like, a turkey cranberry one? I feel like I had that years ago, and I was like, this is not going to work.
Yeah, it was probably something like that.
All right. So this question is from Emily. She said, thanks so much for all the helpful info you guys provide for runners. I love this podcast. My name's Emily, and I'm an intermediate runner and triathlete. Over the last 2 months, I have done two significant things. I started weightlifting 2 days a week. I met with a sports dietitian to ensure I'm fueling properly throughout my day. These two things have created huge gains in my fitness. Everyone in the fitness community says that if you are gaining weight, but your clothes fit the same or are even looser, you're gaining muscle and not fat, since muscle is denser than fat. I don't weigh myself for personal reasons, but I have noticed that my clothes are definitely tighter than usual. So my questions for Feathers is this. If my clothes are getting tighter during marathon training, am I gaining muscle or simply just putting on more weight? Thanks for your help. This one is very challenging. Good luck to you, Megan.
It's good, it's right? Loaded. It's good. So, Meg, you kind of started running out of the blue also. Do you remember, like, I thought back to, like, when I started running when I was reading this, and I still remember, like, that was the day where, like, low-rise, like, Citizen's jeans were still really cool, and they had, like, the inch and a half, like, you know, like, low-rise, like, band around them. And I still remember when I first started running, my jeans all fit different. Like, they just started to feel different on my body because I think I was using different muscles and developing different muscles around my hips and things like that. And I just remember being like, why do things fit different? So, I mean, did you notice that at all when you first started running?
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember. Like, it wasn't a significant thing. And no. I started out, like, so, like, I was doing, like, a mile.
And you wear tights all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I was didn't run. And I was like, I'm going to run a marathon. Just, like, hopped into training.
And I think I also had, like, such a big soccer background, and like I've I just had the thigh muscles already, I think.
That's true.
And so it wasn't drastic change for me, but I can see if someone went from 0 to 60, like you do, like your body just changes.
Right. I think so. That was the first really thing.
Won't it also depend on your starting point? Like for me, I was heavier when I started running. So all I saw was, you know, I could have been eating twice as much, but all I saw was weight loss when I first started.
That's so true. It kind of depends on where you start. Yeah.
When you talk to me, I always freaked out when I was working on the plan because I was like, I don't like getting on the scale, but I'm like, I feel heavier. And you'd be like, are your clothes still fitting? And I'm like, yeah. And you're like, well, shut up.
You're fine then. Keep eating. Yeah. No, but I mean, to answer Emily's question, like, first of all, congrats on performance getting so much better working with a sports dietitian and lifting. I mean, I think that's the message here, right? But we understand that when we feel a certain way about our body or we're questioning things, like that can get in our mind. And it's a valid concern, right? Like if that's something that's bothering us, we definitely want to talk through it, but we want to keep the positives, you know, on the top layer. So why would our clothes be feeling tighter if we're not gaining fat mass, right? So yes, we say all the time when we're putting on muscle mass and losing fat, our weight won't change, but our clothes will fit different. But just because we're putting on muscle mass doesn't mean we're losing fat. So if you're putting on muscle mass and your body composition is still the same, right, from a fat perspective, which might be fine, like maybe she doesn't need to lose any fat, you know, she's just putting on some muscle mass, then yes, clothes are going to feel a little bit tighter. Like that's kind of where I went back to when I first started running. Like I didn't lose body fat, but I put on muscle and things didn't fit the same, you know. So that could be one reason, is just that she's getting stronger, she's got more muscle mass. That's not a bad thing at all. Overall, her body composition would be improving if she's increasing her muscle mass, even if fat mass is staying the same. So, but you know, clothes would certainly fit a little different.
Wouldn't it depend on where the clothes fit different? Mm-hmm. Like if you're talking about your shirts and your shoulders are tighter, you're like, yeah, you're gaining muscle in your shoulders and upper arms and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about your waist, if you're having trouble with the waistline of your pants, that would probably indicate weight gain, wouldn't it?
So I think that goes back to like the low rise G's comment I had, because they sat so low on me that like my upper glute muscle, which I'm going to butcher what it actually is, was stronger. So like they felt really tight around there, but that wasn't technically my waist, you know? So I think like you're saying, it depends on like where they're feeling tighter, you know, to be like, is that a muscle I'm working? But then the other thing to remember, which I think we've gotten this question at every single location through the hydration tour, and when we train through the summer for a marathon, we are training hard, we are dehydrating ourselves, we're working our butts off to rehydrate ourselves. We are just kind of inflamed all summer. Like we're hanging on to extra fluid. It's not a perfect equation of I lost 2 liters of sweat, I drank 2 back, everything's perfect. Like the fluid is kind of in our tissues and not necessarily in our blood volume right away. And we just feel kind of puffy when we're training through the heat. So it could be that. It also could be normal inflammation from muscle damage. We've talked about this in the past in like weight episodes, is when we're training, we're breaking down muscle mass, and the substrates that come back in to build that back up are carried by water. So we actually see a couple pound water retention when we are damaging our muscles in order to repair them. So if she's training and strength training, she's damaging muscle. So it could just be that she's holding onto fluid so her jeans feel tighter in her quads, and it has nothing to do with the fat muscle, you know, ratio there whatsoever. So that could be playing a piece of it. We also know that when we're super bloated from, back up to Finn's question, traveling or hormones or things like that, obviously our pants could fit tighter around our waist, and that could have nothing to do with body mass gain. And then the other thing that kind of stood out to me too is if she is working with a sports dietitian, if she's eating adequate carbs, she's got better glycogen stores, which again is fluid and carbohydrates stored in our muscles. So as you can see, even if there's a little bit of all these pieces coming together, it could certainly make our clothes fit a little bit differently. I would say put on a different pair of pants, put on a different pair of shorts, put something on that you're more comfortable in so that you're not overanalyzing those pieces, and just continue to do the things that you're doing to support your performance. And if your performance is getting better, you're going to train harder and your body's going to shake out where it was meant to shake out for your optimal performance. And then we just find clothes that we're comfortable in, you know, would be obviously the best scenario here.
Okay, I got a quick question for you here with both these comments. When you feel bloated, or when you feel like you're retaining water, or however you want to put it, does it matter? Like, say that you're the exact same as you were the day before when you didn't feel bloated, and you stand in front of the mirror, you look in the mirror, do you feel like you look different?
Like me personally? Like
psychologically? Yeah, I'm asking you guys as.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I do. I think I view myself different depending on how I feel. I think so. Yeah.
I think that's the craziest thing about us as people that are concerned with, you know, physical fitness and that kind of stuff. We use our body as a gauge of how we're doing. It's kind of another indicator of, is my training going well? And I do think it's so influenced by whether you feel bloaty that day, or if you're retaining water, or whatever you want to say, or you even put on a pair of pants that normally maybe you didn't notice fit as tight as they do, but maybe fit a little tighter now. Like, I think it just psychologically messes with your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we need to like state the facts. A perfect example of this is I had 2 pairs of ASIC shorts and I had double pairs of each, right? So towards the end, the shorts that I had worn the first run, I told Meg, I was like, these are so tight. And it was a week later and we had been training like crazy. like, we honestly probably should have been eating just a little bit more. We definitely weren't eating too much. We weren't that bad, but, like, probably, you know, we weren't overeating, I guess is what I'm saying. And I'm like, this is all inflammation. Like, I am just inflamed right now, right? But if you were going by, my pants, my shorts feel tight, I must have gained body mass. You know, that's a whole spiral there. But I think, you know, we need to normalize that our body is not always going to feel the same when we're training through the summer and we're training hard. It's going to change. That doesn't mean that we need to physically change our nutrition to change our body. We just need to continue to give it what it needs so that it can recover and not feel so inflamed.
Meg is always like, get on the scale if you're worried about it. And I'm like, nah, I'm not that worried. I don't want
to get on the scale. Nah, no thanks, Andy. Just tell me I look good.
Yeah, so exactly. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I like to just rely on the scale every once in a while just to make sure I'm not totally off track. And we have one of those scales that gives you the breakdown of, like, this is your bone mass. This is your – and I don't think that's accurate at all. Like, I would love it if I could get on there and it's like, oh, you're just retaining a shit ton of water right now. But it never tells you that. Is there any way to understand if it's you're retaining water or if you're gaining weight? Like, is there a measurement?
Doesn't it send, like, an electric current?
Yeah, and it's bullshit.
It does now. I agree. I have one, too. And
– yeah.
It technically, if you're dehydrated, it should falsely elevate your body fat percentage because we carry different amounts of water in our fat and our muscle. So when we're dehydrated, it's going to think you have more fat. I have personally found on my scale, when I'm dehydrated, it's like, ooh, your body fat percentage is low. And I'm like, this isn't right. Like, even the science here is not quite right. So I don't think, granted, these scales are what, $25, $50, maybe $100. So yeah. I just don't think the technology that we have at home is very good at understanding those differentiating things. You know, and I think there's a lot of people that like to hop on the scale to, like, check in on things. So I think we just need to understand that it can fluctuate, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's, like, a true, you know, fat change.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, there's really no way to really tell, like, is this water, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we can probably, if you know that you're, you know, diet has been similar, but you're training hard through the summer and you are hydrating properly, it's probably safe to assume that a lot of this is that water retention.
Right, right.
Okay, so what are we saying to Emily? That it could be a lot of things, but if your performance is continuing to improve, it's maybe let's focus less on...
It always comes down to that. What's the goal here?
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Yep, I totally agree. And I think, you know, if I was talking to Emily one-on-one, I think we could probably find a couple factors that it's like three things that are causing this, right? You know, I think it's probably a little bit of a couple things of why she's feeling the way she is. So, yeah, same message, though, is just really focusing on the good stuff that we're doing and the performance and kind of letting the rest fall to the wayside.
All right, so let's recap our podcast today. So... bars, Megan, what are the go-tos? List them off, your favorites.
Protein bars, I like the Rise bar, Cliff Builder, Anna bar. And if we're looking for more of like a higher carb bar without quite as much protein, I also like the regular Cliff bars. I like the Picky bars. RX bars are okay if you don't mind the texture. And we just decided that we also like, what were they, Thomas? What were the...
I bought the Rise bar.
Epic?
Oh, the Epic.
Epic. Bars, yeah. Epic bars. But those are just protein. Yeah. So those would be our bars, and making sure when we're traveling that we're taking snacks that we can't live without.
I ordered the Rise bars while we're on here. Okay. Honey and almond butter sounds really good together. Mm-hmm. But I do like the Epic bars every once in a while when you just want that salty protein, like, little fix. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I didn't know that Cliff Bar protein was plant-based.
Yeah, they are. They are, they are.
Does that matter to you, Megan? Digest.
Yeah.
Megan is, you know that Megan does like vegetarian light.
I do know that. Yeah, she does like veggie sources of protein.
All right. That pretty much does it for this week. Like we said, if you guys are in the Boston area, definitely come run with us August 19th, 10 a.m. from Marathon Sports.
And normally you would just get the two lovely ladies, but... if you come to the Boston, you're probably going to see Robbie, myself, Brandon, and some of the faster bastards are saying they're going to get off the plane and try to make the run
That's epic.
Straight there. So yeah. You might get to meet some faster bastards. And I can't wait.
Yeah, it should be a so very fun time. So come out, get your t-shirts, tanks, water bottles, scratch, all the good stuff.
Are you guys going to do anything special for the final stop of the 2023 yes, hydration tour?
We have a choreographed dance that we will conclude the run with.
Okay, time out.
You just took that out of my mouth. I literally was going to be like, we have a choreographed dance. And you said it. I was like, oh my God, we've okay. been spending so a lot of time
happening.
Together.
So it's happening.
So are you guys going to learn, what was his name? Who's the guy? Sergeant Fitness or something?
Oh, Fitness Marshall.
Fitness Marshall. Are you going to do a Fitness Marshall? Yes. I think you have
I'll
to
find,
now.
I'll find mm-hmm. the song. Then he does like video like
he teaches you. And then.
So, 100%.
We'll learn that. And
I'll bring the Sonos speaker.
It'll be phenomenal. That will be mm-hmm. conclude the summer hydration tour.
I think that needs to be before I talk about hydration because okay. that'll really get people's attention.
Okay. Okay.
And you also, I put down my highlight of July and it was the it's you and Kafuzi dancing before the party. That dance was pretty.
That was pretty good hype reel.
That was pretty yeah. good.
That was we were yeah. just winging that one. That wasn't even choreographed.
I was just gonna say, what? No. It took me a second to remember what you were talking about. It was just so natural to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? It reminded me of a Britney Spears video.
I've seen her shake her hips these days. I mean,
so good.
More than just her hips.
It's a little bit more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we need to sign off on.
We gotta
here
go.
Let's not go down another rabbit hole.
All right, peas and carrots.
Bye.
Bye.
And she's like, and I'm like,
now's not the time to start.
Yeah, I was like, you know, when do I just do it and like be like, there it is. And she's like, I think they're all ugly. And I go, come on, mine's kind of nice looking.
That's so good. That's so good. Fueling options.
What do you mean my clothes are tight? They're too small. Rafa, you worried about your weight at all?
That dude would eat until he died.
You look beautiful, by the way.
Okay.
Okay. I just texted you a picture that you need to look at while you're on here.
You want to get my reaction?
I think.
Stop!
Like that's what's happening in here.
Look
he's
at
sitting
him.
At the he's sitting at the table.
Oh my
just
goodness!
Just being such a good boy.
Sometimes meat freaks me out. I'm not gonna lie.
I go through phases with that too. I can totally understand that. Yeah. I was eating pulled pork and drinking bourbon. Like he like turned me into a dude. Like those are the two.
Yeah,
things.
You basically are a Southern gentleman in your white suit looking like the Kentucky Fried Chicken guy.
I am. Yeah. Yeah.
She's wearing the tiniest pair of underpants I've ever seen.
I don't even know if you can consider them underpants.
I was like to Megan, I was like, is her guy like okay with her doing this? And she's like, he's holding the camera.
Yeah.
You think he is?
Yeah. No, he is. 1,000%
sure.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I would be like, babe, I know you enjoy this, but maybe just a pair of pants.
You don't say no to Brittany. Brittany does what Brittany wants.
No.